more.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for joining us for this sweet, sweet moment in time and our coffee slash tea conversation here. Colton Dixon is in the house. Dude, thank you so much.
Man, I'm so honored. Thanks for having me.
You have a very, very busy life. You're on the road. You're doing interviews. You're here, there, and everywhere. And you have two little babies.
I do.
Who are almost exactly the same age as my husband and I, our youngest.
I know. That's amazing.
Two days apart.
That's incredible. We were talking about that earlier. I love that. 9 months old, going on like three. It's like,
they're like everywhere, right?
Everywhere,
tell us what they're
into
up to.
Everything. It's so funny having twins. It's our first experience as parents in general, but with twins, I don't know. I just expected them to be very similar.
Yes.
And they're actually very different, which is so cool.
I love that.
Even though they look extremely similar,
they are identical, right?
They are identical. Yeah. Without going too far into the scientificness of it, the egg split really early.
Okay.
So they've taken on their own characteristics, even though they're identical. So we can tell them apart pretty easily.
And can other people, like your parents?
People who are meeting them for the first time are like, how do you? And I'm like, oh, it seems so easy to us. But one is very adventurous and kind of loves just like getting into things. And the other one, you can sit her down and know that she's going to be right there when you come back. You know, the other one, not so much. But it's so fun. We are loving it. Yeah.
Kids just make life better, I feel like. They enhance your life in a magical way. And yeah, River's doing all the same stuff too. He is crawling and pulling up on everything. Yep. Total danger to himself, putting everything in his mouth.
Yes.
But it's really fun.
And is
it very beautiful seeing Annie as a mama?
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Tell me about how that's been for you.
It is remarkable.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it other than she was born to do that. She just had it in her.
Yes. So natural.
The patience, the nurturing, all the things that when I'm running low, she is just getting started. And I'm just like, oh, that is remarkable. You know, there are times where I feel it, you know, it's like, okay, I need to pass this one to you.
I'm passing the baton.
You know, but she's just so great and so encouraging to me as well. As a first-time parent, there's a lot of unknown, and that can turn into fear. That can kind of, into that fear of,
definitely.
Am I qualified? Not really, but here we are. It's like when you leave the hospital and they're like, here you go. And
here's
like,
your babies. Yeah.
Is this a good idea? Are you sending us home with these things?
Yeah. You're not prepared for it, right? I mean, I remember feeling like that.
I don't know if you, even if you read every book in the world,
I don't know
if you fully feel prepared, but having a spouse who's encouraging, who'll just every once in a while say, hey, you're doing a great job with the kids. It means so much more than probably even she realizes. It's like, okay, she's got my back. You know, I feel more secure in this than I did before. So it's been amazing, but she's incredible.
And do you feel like you've fallen in love with her in a different and new way too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just the parts of her that you don't see just as a husband and wife, but now you see her sharing a similar yet very different kind of love to kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's really remarkable. Even just how I love my kids as it relates to how God loves us. You don't fully understand until you become a parent. I've heard that since I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, sure, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't apply to me yet or whatever. I'm not in that category. But here I am. And I'm like, man, it's so true. God, I mean, I would do anything for my kids.
Yes.
And I see that in my wife.
Yes.
Those kids come before me in this relationship. And I'm like, man, God feels the same way about us.
Mm.
It's like we are his priorities.
Mm.
And it's just so... it's so cool to have that revelation of that and to see her treat the kids that way. It's remarkable.
Well, I really relate to that because I see with Cubby his tenderness with our kids. Like he'll just look at them with this love and the softness in his eyes and just this nurturing part of him that I see play out with the kids, and it just makes me fall for him in this deeper way and knit you together too, because in marriage, like, you're a partnership, but you're a partnership in a new way when you have kids, because it's like you need support, you know, in that calling.
Totally. And just being real, I think kids can bring you together, but they can also tear relationships apart as well. It's really a decision that you have to make with your spouse. It's like, hey, it's you and me in this. We cannot allow a lie of the enemy to come in here. We have to, like, this is our home. This is our family, and we protect that at all costs.
Totally.
And whenever you do that and you have that mutual understanding, you're better for it. And you just continue to grow and grow closer together through it. It's so good.
Oh, you're right. I mean, it will test you because it tests the selfishness. Yes. My dad, I mean, I'm one of seven. I don't know if you knew that, that my brothers and I are, you know, three of seven. And he said that every single child has knocked more selfishness out of him as a man. He's like, it's just knocked more. But he's like such an advocate for having a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in part because of that, like, it's just good. He feels like it's been good for his character. Yes. I feel like I relate to that too, because it's just, it's like refining you. And it's like, sometimes you do just have to take a breath and go, okay, Lord, give me an extra dose of patience right now because I don't have it on the human level. So it's like enhancing your faith. But man, we dove right into content. Usually I like to like, you know, back up and have you share your story and all of that, which we will, but we dove into some great content. So thank you, dude. I love it. But I want to share actually too, just about how we, I think it's where we initially met, but maybe we'd kind of been around each other a little bit before that at another point. But one of my first memories of being around you was actually Soulfest. We were just talking about it off the air. But so Soulfest is a wonderful festival in New Hampshire.
Yes.
And you were playing, Annie was there. Mariah Peters, my sister-in-law, was there. I was playing, my brothers in For King Country were playing. And we were all there at this festival, and there was crazy, crazy weather.
It was.
Like, everything was getting delayed. There was lightning. It was like super sketch. And we had our daughter there. So my husband was playing for me, and we had our second daughter, Imogen, there, and she was just a couple months old. So this is why I remember that day really, really well. And my family, like my dad, who manages For King Country, and me, they were coming in on the bus and got delayed because of the weather and all crazy traffic surrounding that. He was meant to look after Imogen while I went on stage, me and my husband.
Oh, no.
So literally they put the show back because of the weather, but then said, you've got 5-10 minutes to be on stage. And I had no one to look after her. Oh. So I literally had, there was a lady that had I'd known from the festival from other times at Soulfest that had asked to hold her at catering earlier on. And I had to find her and go, please, can you hold my baby while I go do a show? So it's this like traumatizing experience of like, okay, here you go. You know, here's this precious little couple months old baby. And I trust you that you're going to look after. Okay. And I'm going to go play a show. So I literally was on adrenaline the entire time.
Wow.
I was doing that show, just like hanging on.
Songs were a little bit faster that day.
Songs, everything was my heart was racing, I think, the entire show. And then I saw you, I think, right after you and Annie side stage. And you were just so sweet and smiled and encouraging. And anyway, you were like a breath of fresh air on that day because I had just kind of been through
Praise
it.
The Lord.
So thank you for that.
You're
you
welcome.
Never knew that your smile and your kind countenance was like blessing this mama's heart.
Well, if you're ever in that scenario again, Annie would gladly.
There you go. But now she's got her arms full of babies.
That's true.
Already.
She would be outnumbered, but I'm sure she wouldn't mind still. She loves
taking
babies.
A third on.
Yeah.
That's so
that
sweet.
That is hilarious. Yeah. What a crazy day, right?
I know. But that's a lot of the road, right? Is just flexing with it.
Yes.
I wanted you to share a little bit about your upbringing and your faith life. You were born and raised in Murfreesboro or just...
I was,
yeah,
yes.
Okay. Murfreesboro is about 45 minutes from where we are in Franklin right now.
Yeah.
And my best friend lives out there, so I'm very familiar with Murfreesboro. But can you just tell a little bit about your beginning years and your faith life with your family?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian home, have really great examples in my folks, and have a younger sister, 3 years younger than me. Her name's Skylar. And we grew up in church. We were at church any chance we got. I would love to say it was because we just had a heart on fire for the Lord, but we also were little social butterflies, so we didn't mind that either. But I gave my life to Jesus when I was 7 years old, and started taking piano lessons around that time too. And at 13, that was the moment where just kind of had an encounter with Holy Spirit. It was at a piano recital.
Wow.
Was playing I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me, which is one of my favorites of all time.
So good.
And my teacher pulled me aside about an hour before the recital and said, hey, I think you need to sing it too. And I'm like,
oh my goodness.
13 years old. I'm like, I don't think this is a good idea. You know, it's a hard song to sing, let alone puberty, like all the things. Like,
voice is changing.
Yeah, changing, all the things. And he was like, no, I really think you should. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
That's a lot of belief in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he did.
Yeah.
At the time, I was not very happy with him.
Okay.
But yep. I got out and I did it. And I just felt this peace.
Yeah.
And just this, a serene feeling. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was totally Holy Spirit just kind of calming me down and showing me what the future looked like.
So
and
it felt like a sweet spot for you? Like you just kind of landed in a sweet spot?
It felt like I was home. And I didn't know how else to explain it.
That's so sweet.
And I didn't know what the future was necessarily going to look like specifically, but I knew that that was going to play a part.
Wow.
So I started developing that gift and pursuing every little thing that I could. So my sister and I formed a band and, you know, we led worship at church and played as many shows as we could. And such a fun season. And then just shortly after high school, we did the American Idol thing.
Tell us about that. How was that?
It was all the things.
Yeah. I'm sure it was a mixed
bag. You listed emotion. It was in there.
Okay.
But had so much fun and learned so much in a short amount of time, musically, business, touring, all the things. But more importantly, learned a lot spiritually as well.
Yeah.
God really took me on a journey through that season. Grew up a lot.
What do you feel like you learned spiritually from American Idol? Because not many people would necessarily say, sure, I was a part of the American Idol experience and I walked away spiritually different.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they would, but it might not be in the best way.
Okay. All right.
But I feel like it was just, I had the opportunity to grow up. It was like, I had the opportunity to make it completely my own versus leaning on family's faith or, you know, the faith of those around me.
Yeah.
Because it was just me out on the road with people who, you know, believed in God, but maybe didn't always walk it or, you know, we see that a lot in industry. So it's like, okay, God, I need help here.
Yeah.
You know, not only just for accountability, cause I don't really have people around me, whatever, but, I want to take the opportunity and I want to do it right. So there were moments where I was questioning or whatever, and just felt that reassurance of promise God gave Moses, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Little things like that along the way, it was like, okay, questioning God, am I doing this for my ego or am I here because this is what you have for me? Am I meant to do Christian music or am I meant to go out and do mainstream music and be a light there? What is the answer here?
Yep.
And just having him give me little bits and pieces along the way that just kind of affirmed the plan that he had. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate gift that we have.
Yes.
That's why when Jesus left, he's like, it's better. Trust me, it's better. You get to experience what I did when I was here.
Mm.
And we have the same Holy Spirit that he did. So we're able to do all that he did and more. So just realizing all of that in that season. And even during that season, meeting my wife, you know, and it was so crazy. Not to go off on a side note, but
no, I wanted to get to how you met her.
Yeah. So I just felt so strong that I was not supposed to date during that season.
Yeah.
And plenty of opportunities,
I'm sure,
just being, you know, in the limelight, whatever. But I just knew, I was like, okay, I don't need to do this. And then I met Annie and we met, there is a venue in LA. It sounds so sketch. Maybe it is a little sketch. I don't know. It's called the Viper Room.
Yeah. Very famous place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a guy actually from The Voice playing there that night who had a rad testimony. So I went with a friend of mine. She went with her pastor, actually, who wound up marrying us. So funny.
Wow.
But we met there. My wife is very good looking.
She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
She is model
and,
level. Beautiful.
I would love to say that just, you know, her personality and spiritualness was the first thing that I noticed. It was not. But we started talking and it was literally like God was like
Wow.
silver platter. everything we talked about, she's like, well, I want to do ministry. I want to travel and actually help lead worship at a church. And I'm like,
bam, bam, bam.
Literally all the things. And I'm like, okay.
On your list.
Like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
In some form or fashion, that's what I do. And she had no idea who I was or what I did. Mm. So we just were able to have a really great conversation about faith. And they're at the Viper Room. You know, God works in funny ways.
Go figure.
We'll introduce your wife at a sketchy club in LA, you know. But that's how I met Annie. And I still felt really strong that I was not supposed to date during the season. And I'm like, God, this seems way too good to be true.
Totally.
You know, and he's like, just be patient.
Mm.
So we talked off and on. That was right when I was going on the Idol tour, which is like the craziest schedule I've ever done to this day.
Yeah.
But the night we finished from the tour, I had a layover in LA.
Yeah.
Got in really late, but I was like, I wonder if she's in town. I texted her. I'm like, hey, do you want to go grab like a milkshake? Or, you know, do you want to go meet up for coffee, whatever? And she was free. So we went out. We had our first date. We went to Mel's Diner and had milkshakes.
Love it.
Walked the beach on Santa Monica. And it was just perfect. And I'm like, what in the world? So I flew home after the tour and after that, knowing I was in the clear. That season of waiting was over.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what is this going to look like? You know, and we started developing that relationship. And a couple years later, we got married and crazy.
Wow.
God's awesome.
He is.
But I don't know if it would have been the same had I not waited during that season.
Totally. Well, you established a friendship, which is the ultimate in the best kind of situation of foundation for a marriage.
Agreed.
Is that friendship.
100%. Yeah. But it was beautiful season for us. She's also very patient.
That's great.
She's the most patient woman in the world. Her
That's
reward
really
is great.
Great
in heaven.
Yes.
But yeah, it was a sweet season.
I'd love to hear too, and we're going to focus a lot in this next little while on parenthood, and you're kind of setting up like the faith foundation, the marriage foundation for your parenthood and what you've learned in your journey so far. But can you just speak very quickly to American Idol, just in a nutshell, what happened? Like, because you were on the 10th season and the 11th season,
correct,
or you're involved to some degrees. Can you just nutshell version
you've done
that?
Your homework.
Yeah, I do some research. Yes.
So we grew up watching American Idol in our house.
Okay.
It's like the fun thing to do.
Okay.
I never really had a desire to go out for it.
Yeah.
I'd heard so many artists who kind of like snubbed their nose at it. It's like, oh, you need to put in the van and trailer time. And, you know, so that was my plan.
Yes, right.
So glad God's plan is better than ours.
Yep, yep.
But my sister wanted to go.
Okay.
So we went that 10th season, stood outside of Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, and overnight, it was crazy.
Wow, I didn't realize that it was
packed.
A part of
the
experience
thing.
Sometimes.
Yeah, whole thing. And we both made it through, didn't even tell them we were related, which it was, there were so many singers that were better than us that weren't making it through. So that was just God's favor on us, 100%. Hmm. And we made it to Hollywood Week together. She got cut there.
Okay.
And then I went on, got cut right before the live shows. So at that point, I was really done with American Idol. You know? But I also kind of developed an ego, had a big head, and had a couple opportunities open up that just added fuel to the fire, you know? But that summer, God just really did work in me. It's like, man, like, if you thought this is it, then you have no idea the plan that I had for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, had? Hold on, I need to reassess some things.
Wow.
Just felt that so strong. So I'm like, okay, let's die to the flesh here for a second.
Mm.
Just put that aside, lay the ego down and say, okay, I'm willing, sorry. That's such a big thing. Just being able to, whether it's in marriage or in your relationship with God, coming with a humble heart just being willing to just go, okay, like, I get it. I tried this on my own and it didn't work. And I admit it. And let's do this together.
You know, I would say that saying sorry is the ultimate relationship enhancer.
Oh,
like,
100%.
I know that sounds really strange, but I agree with you. And our faith, it's probably one of the most important components that we come to him and say sorry and own our stuff. And then in marriage, oh my goodness, the power of that, like, especially if you're kind of a bit upset with each other.
Yes.
It diffuses everything. It diffuses
it really
the emotion.
Does.
You just say, hey, I'm sorry. I probably didn't handle that the best. And So
as someone
well
who's
done
not
bringing
handled
that
it
up.
That way a lot, I realize the times where one of us does handle it that way, it's like it just completely changes the atmosphere.
You're yeah. Right.
But it was during that summer that I learned a lot of that, and God brought me through a lot of that. And so my sister wanted to go again.
Okay.
And I was still kind of like, no, like this is your year, you do it. Yeah. She went before the judges, the celebrity judges, and I was waiting outside with my family. And next thing I know, she's poking her head out of the door saying, hey, they wanna say hi and see what you're up to. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I still am not thinking anything of it. I walk in and it is just guilt trip after guilt trip. Why are you not auditioning? Like, da da da, we think you're awesome, all the things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, think quick. What's a song that they'd be allowed to air? What are all these things? And all the time being very conscious of my sis.
Yes.
I'm like, oh man, I so am not wanting to overshadow this. Mm-hmm. This is your thing. Mm. And for a brief second, I'm like, oh no, she's so mad at me. You know, like, oh no. But as soon as we walked out, she looked at me. She's like, I'm glad that happened. I'm going to have a friend in Hollywood with me. And I'm like, ah, oh, just speaks so much into her and her character, especially being, she was so young at the time. Mm. So we both made it to Hollywood again, surprise. And, that was the year that I went on to make the top 10 and do the tour. And she made it to where I did the year prior. So she made it to the top 40 and got cut just before live shows. It was such a bummer. She can outsing me any day of the week. She's incredibly talented. But yeah, that was kind of the idol journey. Mm. Crazy. But I think sometimes God has a plan and sometimes we don't always walk through that open door or we're not prepared. It's like the Israelites in the desert.
Yeah.
What should have taken them, I think it was 13 days to make it to the promised land, took them 40 years.
Can you even imagine?
And it's like, oh man.
Yeah.
I've heard so much, especially growing up as a Southern Baptist, it's like, oh, God has a plan. You know, it's like, I think he does. It's like, but sometimes I think we get in the way of that plan and sometimes there are consequences to our actions.
Yeah.
Sometimes the reason that something's happening is because we were dumb.
Yes, right.
We made a decision that affected that.
Yeah.
And it's not until we recognize that and say, okay, God, I'm ready to do it your way.
Yeah.
Your will be done.
Yeah.
Instead of mine.
Yeah.
That he goes, ah, awesome. I've been cheering you on and waiting on this moment. Let's do it. Let's go.
Yes.
So that was kind of that first year of Idol for me, I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Thank you for sharing about that. I think it's fascinating journey and it set you up for all these years of ministry now, like all that you've been doing.
100%.
You know, God knew.
Yes,
he did. He's like, here, son, I'm giving you this platform and these opportunities to tell about me. And
yes.
It's so awesome. I wanted to really hear what you've learned in the last 9 months about parenting specifically. Like what has God taught you as a dad about fatherhood?
Man, I've learned a lot of what not to do.
Okay. All right. Well, you can share that too.
Patience is a big one for any new parent. But honestly, like even just backtracking to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, especially even after this last year, there's so much fear.
Yes.
I might be jumping the gun, but like one of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe. It's, for I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Mm.
So just taking whatever it is that life is throwing at you through that lens, it's like, oh, it's like, I shouldn't be afraid.
Yeah.
God's with me and he is for me.
Yes.
And if he is for me, who can be against me?
Yes.
So just realizing these things. So with parenting, it was so easy to take those thoughts, which were totally from the enemy, and believe them as truth. It's like, man, I'm not prepared. I'm not good enough. I'm going to fail. I'm not going to be able to, especially in a pandemic last year, I'm not going to be able to support two babies financially, all these things that whatever. I just had to, with the help of my wife, honestly, just cast that down and cast it aside and go, no, God's equipped me with the tools to do this. And we're not led by any of those things. We're actually led by Holy Spirit, you know? And Holy Spirit is going to help us in parenting. And God is the best dad.
Yes.
And he is for us.
Yes.
And we have that source available to us at any point in time that we need. So that was probably the biggest hurdle, and I don't know if I've actually even voiced that ever, but just the fear of not being good enough to be a parent, or afraid of even just how I used to be growing up. It's like, oh, are they going to be like me? God, I hope not. You know, like those little things. God, yeah. I hope they're like Annie, who was like teacher's pet, the sweetest thing okay. ever growing up. She still is. God, let them take after Annie, you know, the aww. Things. So as a new parent, if you are just about to have kids or you have new kids, whatever, just it's a lie. And just know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, but God comes to give us life and life more abundant.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When those thoughts come in or when things in life happen,
yeah.
put it in the right category. Mm-hmm. And if it's in the wrong category, don't pay any attention to it. Take the thought captive and move forward.
Yes.
And, but if it's the other, hold on to it.
Yes.
It's the promises of God.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest things for me.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah. On the lines of what you're talking about, I feel like that scripture of there is no condemnation for all who are in Christ.
Yes.
I feel like the voice of God, when he does convict us, has this kind of loving, I mean, God is just and, you know, he disciplines those he loves. Like that is a component. There's a strength and a power to God that commands our respect, but he also speaks to us kindly,
yes.
I feel like. And in recognizing, okay, well, what is God convicting me and what is the enemy shaming me? I
yes.
feel like the enemy always has this condemning, like, you're not enough, you know, you're less than, like, and I feel like that has been a part of my journey, like with music. Like, I mean, I started out on my first tour at 13. So there was so much.
That
like
is remarkable. Not imagine.
Well, I mean, I was just literally on my face like before going out, and it was with Carmen too. So it was like up to 6,000 people every night on this
golly.
Tour in Australia. So I was like on the ground, just like praying, Lord, give me strength. But that feeling of not enough, whether it's been with music or, you know, first year of parenting, and my husband was on the road a lot with his band at that point.
Yeah.
And I was just doing it a lot alone, making these, what felt like really big decisions. And it was kind of scary. But the enemy wants to say, yeah, you're not enough. You can't do it. But there's this kind of condemning tone with which the enemy speaks to us and taunts us.
Yes.
But when Jesus convicts us, there's love and
yes.
there's compassion and there's, you know, child, I want something better for you. It's
yes.
like that kind of tone, and it's
yes.
not condemning.
Yes.
And so I feel like in even kind of trying to differentiate what is the voice that is speaking to me right now? Because you're right, when it's the enemy and it's this defeating kind of tone, we've got to take those thoughts captive and go, no, I'm not going to live in that. I'm
yes.
literally not going to dwell on that.
Yes.
I'm going to let that thought kind of be like this bird that flies over me, but doesn't roost.
Yes. 100%.
Somebody told me that forever,
that's
a long
so
time
good.
Ago. Like, don't let these negative thoughts roost in your head.
Yes.
Let them fly over.
That's so good. I love that.
So yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah. So as you were saying that, this kind of came to me.
Yep.
It's like when the enemy is telling you something, there's always an end. There's it always comes to an end. But when God is telling you something, there's always a future.
Mm.
The enemy,
there's hope.
There's
yeah.
hope.
Yes.
There's
yes.
like, there's like,
yes.
hey, like,
that's good.
No, I don't love what you're doing right now, but
yeah.
there is better. It's like,
yeah.
hey, there's an alternative. There is a future. There's a hope in it.
Yeah,
but
I love
when the
it.
Enemy comes, it's like,
it's like
done.
Death. Well, he's
yeah.
speaking. He's speaking death.
You're exactly
yeah.
right.
He's
so
trying
like,
to destroy you.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no next time. You're gonna fall or whatever it is. So maybe just something to keep in mind as well. Like, hey, there's always gonna be hope in future when
yeah.
you're standing on the promises of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it totally resonates with that concept, biblical concept of the enemy has come to steal, kill, and
yes.
destroy. He's
yeah.
literally out to rip us off. All the time.
All the time.
But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
So I love that. Like
yeah.
it's the hope. Like it's the hope that we have.
So
I love
good.
It.
Come on.
You know, one of the things that, because I do like to research the friends that I have on
yeah.
this show and on this podcast. And one of the things that I found out about you and Annie that I just was like, yes, you guys go. I'm so proud of you. Is that you lived out purity, you know, in your relationship, you know, and
yeah.
not that any of us are like perfect. It's not like just because you lived in purity doesn't mean that you've done everything perfectly. We're not
sure.
trying to uphold like,
sure. Yeah.
I'm not. Sure, you know, you and Annie like like Cub and I mean, we committed to purity, but we weren't Jesus in this situation. You know, sure. Jesus did it all perfectly, but you
100%.
Know, Colton and Annie, me and Cub, not exactly perfectly, but we sought to honor God in our relationships. And I love that about your story. And I just applaud you guys for waiting, for honoring Jesus in that way. Have you thought to, you know, you have two girls.
I know.
Have you thought about that component, you know, take it, you know, 13 years from now, 14 years from now, like those kind of conversations about purity and how to live in relationships. Have you gone there at all yet?
Yeah, like we have.
Okay.
It's so funny, like the normal consensus when you're a dude and you have a daughter, everyone's like, oh man, like get rid. And I'm like, it's funny to me, but right. At the same time, it's like, why is that?
No, it doesn't have to be that.
It doesn't have to be that. Here's my wife, who is literally, she is like, I don't understand. She tells me stories about college and I'm like, these poor guys. And she just had a standard.
Yeah, and good on her.
And not even that, she was just not there.
Hmm.
And I totally believe it was God just covering her because yeah. she is a hot woman.
She's beautiful. She's very beautiful. Yeah.
She's attractive, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I know what guys think. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But she just had this hedge of protection over
yeah.
her. And she knew. She was taught right. And she had the right people around her. And she's even told me that. She's like, man, like my parents, like they didn't encourage us to date when we were young. Like that would have seemed so weird to us. And honestly, it wasn't like that in my family. Like, mm-hmm. you know, my parents would kind of joke, you know, like a girl in middle school would be like, oh, like, you know, she's cute or whatever. And I'm like, oh man, we don't need to encourage that so young.
Right.
But then she's like, but honestly, it was also the people who weren't my parents who were around me, who I chose to have as my friends, who would never, like some of those people didn't kiss their husbands until they got married.
Right.
And I'm like, that is remarkable.
It is.
Annie and I did not do that.
We didn't do that either.
but I'm like, that is remarkable.
Right.
But friends are so important.
Yes, so important.
So that's honestly one of the bigger things that we're praying into. Not that they wouldn't make a decision, but that they would just know better.
Yes.
And have the right friends
yes.
around them.
That are trying to live in holiness the same way
yeah,
that they are.
Just
yeah,
just people you can confide in and can keep them accountable.
Yeah.
And be really fun, but not, you know, not in the world.
Yes. Yep.
And that's getting stranger and stranger to the world.
Yeah,
I get that.
You're right.
But they're still out there,
yeah,
you know? And
totally.
Annie is a prime example. You
yes.
know?
Yes.
It's incredible. I'm so thankful for her.
Yeah. And I also think like in parenting, one of the, I love that you just brought up that it doesn't have to be what the stereotype is. Just because you have, you know, teen girls, it doesn't have to be this like super edgy, oh, they're going to defy you, they're going to be rebellious, they're going to be all this. No, they
no.
don't have to be that,
no,
actually.
They don't.
No, but I think in one of the things that can promote kind of healthiness in teen years is just having really open, honest conversation and that relationship
mm-hmm.
that you're fostering when they're little, you
yeah.
know, and we have a 7-year-old girl and already with Gemma, we're talking to her about, I mean, and it's more just coming up naturally.
Yeah.
About modesty. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a part of purity, right? Like how you dress kind of is a part of kind of honoring God, I feel
100%.
Like. And so we're having those kind of conversations, wearing some shorts or a skirt underneath her dress or
yes.
like, you know, like just making sure like not too much skin is showing or
yeah.
this kind of thing, just being honoring like
yes.
already. And so we're planting these seeds right now, but we're keeping this very open, honest conversation and dialogue about all the things in life with
yeah.
her and giving the time for that. And I think it's kind of planting the seeds. But, you know, we were talking about purity a second ago, and I just want to say to somebody that might be listening that is just feeling, you know, well, I didn't have parents in my life that were talking to me about purity, and I didn't have the friends that were living that way, and I didn't even know that that was kind of the way that
yeah.
was better or,
yeah.
you know, and I just want to encourage you, like there is no condemnation for
no.
all who are in Christ. Like
yes.
you are free of any of those choices that like might on the human level have a guilt on your heart. It doesn't have to be there at all.
No, not
like,
at all.
Jesus sets us free from all of the past mistakes. And
yes.
that's all of us. Like,
yeah,
we need Jesus desperately, every single one of us, for our selfishness, for our pride, for the ways that we are not handling life correctly or honoring to him. And so I just want to encourage everyone listening. There is no reason whatsoever to be living in a heaviness of spirit when Jesus has set you free from your past. And so, but I love that the Bible has the path of life. It's the path of abundant life. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about God has a beautiful way for us that is mapped out in his instruction book, the Bible. And that's his best way. Now, even when you're living that way, it doesn't mean you're exempt from pain in life, right? Yeah. Like,
100%.
Because I'm sure, Colton, in your life, like, you've sought to be honoring to God, but you've been through some painful stuff.
Yeah,
that is difficult. Oh, can you talk about what happened at the birth of Dior, actually?
To set it up, Annie just had an amazing pregnancy.
So good.
She was just a rock star. for all the women out there, you understand what I mean by this, but she went 39 and a half weeks with twins.
Oh my goodness, that's almost unheard of.
Unheard of.
Wow.
Her due date was 38 weeks. So she was just like, as she was working out every day, just killing it.
That's amazing.
Remarkable. But she goes into labor naturally and she's like, hey, I'm just letting you know, I think it's time. I'm going to put on my makeup, get the stuff. I'm like, all right, here we go. So we did. Her parents were at the house. You know, they basically moved in with us for a month, you know, getting ready and then helping us with the girls. But so we go to the hospital and we get checked in and they start monitoring the girls and like, man, these are the happiest twins we've ever seen. They might say that to everybody. We don't know. but everything was going so smooth.
Okay.
But then it just took a while.
Okay.
And after, I think it was like 36 hours from when we checked into the hospital.
Oh my goodness.
The doc was like, hey, it's taking a while. The birthing process has started. But there have been a couple complications, nothing crazy, but I think we should move to C-section, get these babies out. And we're like, yep, sounds great. Annie was like,
36 hours, poor thing.
So we go into the OR. And again, no reason for stress, anxiety, worry, any of that stuff. But they go to get out Dior, the first one out. And since she had started that birthing process, she was in the birth canal already. So it took them a second to get her out. And I guess the shock of being there for a second had caused her body to shut down. So she wasn't breathing, had no pulse. Very scary.
Horrifying.
So she comes out, there's no screaming or crying or anything. And that's normally a bad sign. So they take her to our left and immediately start doing work on her. And it was at that moment that I'm so thankful for good teaching. But Annie and I both knew she was, you know, she was all there. We had a choice to make. It's faith or fear.
Yeah.
And that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
You can let a bunch of emotions get in the way of that decision, but that's what it is. So we chose faith and we chose to stand on the promises of God. It says, hey, your plans for us are to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future. And we know that little Dior has a future.
Yeah.
We've seen you do miracles before in our own lives. We've heard you do miracles like this before with other people. We know that you can do it again. So we started to pray. And as a Southern Baptist boy, I didn't recognize all the words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah,
I'm like, hey, this is new. Come on, bring it.
Wow.
So we started praying. And I don't know if it was God directly reaching into Dior or working through those doctors and nurses, but Dior is happy and healthy. And you know, they got a pulse and little Athens came out kicking and screaming. So we're like, okay, she's good. That's awesome.
Wow.
But it's so weird in that moment, especially at birth, you weren't expecting that. At least I wasn't.
Yeah.
The closest thing I can relate it to, it's like Christmas as a little kid times infinity.
Yeah.
Like you're meeting your kids for the first time. Yeah. There's so much excitement built around that moment. And for it to go really wrong really throws you for a loop. That's why it's so important to be in the Word and to know the Word and to know the promises of God and to know how to pray and all these things. I'm so thankful for the people around me who took the time to teach me and for even my own time with God and Him showing me like, hey, you get to come boldly
yep.
before me because yep. I see you through the lens of Jesus. Mm. Even going back to what you said, it's like there's no condemnation in Christ. Yep. Everything that I've done wrong has been paid for.
Mm.
It's not a self-righteous thing. It's a thank you, Jesus thing.
Yes.
So we get to walk in and God sees us through that lens. So we get to ask as Jesus would ask.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
That's what we did. We continued to ask and ask and pray, and so thankful that it turned out that way. Mm. I also know that for some people it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I wish I knew why.
Yes.
I don't, but it's amazing. I was telling that story at a show, and a couple came up to me afterwards and told me that. They're like, man, I'm so glad God did that for you. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way for us, but God is still on the throne and he's still
wow.
good. And I was just a puddle.
Totally.
Right?
You were.
It's like,
yeah.
that is faith.
Yeah.
For it to be tested and not go the way you want, but come out on the other side of it stronger. Don't know why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But how remarkable is that?
Beautiful.
But yeah, that was the crazy Dior story.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Can you, in our just last couple of minutes, pray over the person that's listening that just needs encouragement
yes.
in their life, in their faith, in their parenting, if they're a parent? Can you just pray a covering prayer over them right now of
Absolutely.
Encouragement?
Yeah.
Thanks.
God, we just thank you for this time, first of all, that we've had just to have a laid back conversation, but stuff that has been so good. I feel so full spiritually because of this conversation. I pray that the people listening do as well.
Mm.
But God, I just lift everyone listening up to you. God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, I pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding
yes.
right now. So even when it doesn't make sense, even when things don't seem to be going our way, God, I pray for peace in those situations. You are good and you are on the throne. But God, I also pray that people's eyes be revealed and they take hold of Holy Spirit, this gift that you've given us and this power that you've given us. God, you say you've given us the keys to the kingdom. Mm. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So God, I pray that people take a hold of that. There's power in our words. So God, I pray for the right words today over your people. God, I pray that the feeling of not being worthy or not being enough will just dissipate in Jesus' name. I bind the lies of the enemy in Jesus' name right
yes.
now. And God, I just thank you for your people and for your kids. Thank you for allowing us the platform that we have to talk about you freely.
Yes, Lord.
And God, I just, again, I just bind fear. After this year, I bind fear.
Yep.
And pray that we can move forward. From a place of victory. That's not where we're headed. That's where we're going from. So God, we thank you for that. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dude, awesome.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
If you have enjoyed this time and this conversation, which man, I have, Colton, you
so
can
much.
Preach, dude. So much good stuff. But if you've enjoyed it, we encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. Just if you're as busy as we are, I'm sure... You know, it's hard to keep up with everything. So you'll be notified when a new one comes in. But we just thank you so much for spending this time with us, with me and the listener.
Yeah, thank you.
To this podcast. Colton, you've been such an encouragement to me today. And
thank
I just want to encourage you, keep up the great work. Keep up the great work as a husband, as a dad, and as somebody who is ministering to the masses.
Thank you
just
very
keep
much.
Keep it up, brother.
Thank you.